Back here on the Mighty 690-933, we have a very busy election season at hand, and in order to try to squeeze all the different candidates in here, we have a rare Saturday interview for you, and we are joined in studio by Ty Masterson, who is running for governor here on the Republican ticket, and we also have State Senator Virgil Peck in as well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, James. Hey, it's 2 days in a row for me. That's really special to be on an award-winning station such as this.
And by the way, congratulations on that. Station of the year.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I just wanted to stop by for a few minutes with President Masterson. I call him President Masterson because he is president of the Senate, even though he's a personal friend, Ty. But you just kind of, if you don't call him President Masterson all the time, next thing you know on the Senate floor, you'll call him Ty. But I'm honored to be here with Ty. I think he's a good guy. I'd like to see him be our next governor. But I'll let him do his own talking.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining. Obviously, we got to talk with you here earlier this year when you were up in Topeka. So it is great to have you here in Southeast Kansas stopping on by. Of course, we've really enjoyed getting to talk to several different of the candidates. It's quite a slew of candidates on that Republican ticket. Even the Democratic ticket is contested as well. So as we just kind of get started here, what kind of made you want to do this run for the governor's office, and how did you kind of get into the position where you are now?
Yeah, I mean the timing is real. The reason why actually has been developed over time. For those that don't know my family, my wife and I have 6 children, all adults now. We actually have 8 grandchildren on the ground. 9th one just got announced coming on the way. So I've got a deeply vested interest in this state, making sure it's a great place to live, work, and raise a family, because I'm very conscious of the fact that as my clock times out, I've got a little clock starting that I deeply care about. So it is, and I think that's unique of all the candidates to have all of my children choosing to live, raise their families here in Kansas. So that's the 100,000 foot view of why. And then I've developed the ability to move things, in Topeka. So that's why I'm running for governor now, because that's been stopping us. People forget we've been governed by progressive liberal Democrats for 16 of the last 24 years. So it's kind of like from a sales perspective, like you sold it and bought it back, sold it and bought it back. We go back and forth. And so we have to bring that change, because the executive branch, they decide how things get implemented and enforced. So the good things Virgil and I can do in the legislature just sometimes don't even get implemented or enforced when it comes to the bureaucracy of Kansas. So that's why we're in the race.
So we're speaking here with Ty Masterson, who is running on the Republican primary here, which, again, that's coming up very quickly on Tuesday. So, for your position here, obviously you've been in the state house for a while. You kind of get to see how everything works. We have, some political outsiders running. We have some folks who have a little more experience. How do you think that do you think your experience helps to set you apart? Some say, well, you've been there. Why haven't you done this? How do you respond to that?
That's a great question, and there's 2 layers to that. One, why have you done this? Because I only control 1/2 of the legislature, right, on the Senate side, and there's so many things that the Senate accomplished that didn't quite make it through the House, hence the reason to go for governor. Here's what I'll tell you about the whole outside. And by the way, I was a little naive to that when I came to a businessman coming in, think I'm just going to affect all this change, even the legislature. And then you realize it doesn't run like a business, right? Because these are elected individuals. And I wish it was that straightforward that it ran like a business, but you can't fire anybody. People are sent to that building from all over the state. And even when they'll say, well, the governor, it's different. It's a CEO. You can't sign a bill that doesn't hit your desk. If you do not have a working operational relationship with the Kansas legislature, you get nothing done in the governor's office. So it's important to have those relationships. And that is what sets me apart. Honestly, that's why President Trump came out and endorsed me, because we had those conversations around, he was very conscious of the difference between himself in term one, coming in cold from the outside and getting stymied, versus him coming in the second time, Trump two. And we were firsthand witnesses of what he was able to do in just those first months and days when he had developed the operational knowledge of the system. So he himself decided that that was a better place to be and came out very strong for me. So, and other groups that watch the legislative and governor process, that just the happenings in Topeka, really all the big groups have come out and strongly endorsed me, whether that's Second Amendment and the NRA, or Life and KFL, or business and that's the Chamber and Americans for Prosperity, all have solely endorsed me. So they see the ability to actually accomplish things.
We're speaking with Ty Masterson, who is running for the governor's race here in the state of Kansas. And, sir, you know, when you take a look at some of those big issues here in Kansas, obviously things that float to the top a lot revolve around the economy and taxes. So if elected, what do you think would be some of those priorities when it comes to that?
Well, there's two layers of priority. The first layer is property tax. We have a property tax crisis in the state of Kansas. And so that it's complicated because it's driven by local spending. But there are things the state can and will do. We, as a matter of fact, in the Kansas Senate, we passed a constitutional amendment. We'd like the people to be able to vote on whether or not there should be restrictions around the increases in property tax. And we passed that actually multiple times in the Senate. And I'm very hopeful to continue that because government just needs constraints. I mean, at every level. State level, local level, the people have to constrain the government. That's the beauty of our system. And so that's ultimately going to take a constitutional amendment at the state level. And then we can do statutory things to bring revenue limits locally to help, because that I don't know how property tax ever came to be constitutional, but clearly it's been determined to be so. So, but it's the only tax that taxes you on an unrealized gain, you know, all because of your house may or may not be worth more this year. Doesn't mean that's more money in the bank for you to pay at that new level. So we have to get constraints around property tax. So that's priority number one. We also priority number two, it's also deals with economic, but it's education, right? We're in a bit of a literacy crisis as well in this state. And it's around the nation, but we're very much part of that. We're in the lower one third in outcomes. You know, 3 out of 4 fourth graders can't read at grade level, and that's unacceptable. So there are things we need to get serious about literacy. We're chasing after what's happened in Mississippi. In the education world, they're calling it the Mississippi miracle. And they have gone from 49th in the country to like 9th in literacy in just a matter of a few years. And they got so serious about it. And we're going to do the same thing here in Kansas and get serious about literacy. And give people, you get into our inner cities like Wichita, Kansas City, Kansas, we have kids that are trapped by a zip code, if you will. I mean, the only building they can go to is a failing building. And so we have to give those parents choices.
And we see that we end up spending, it seems like, more and more money on education with some lackluster results. And I know it's a complicated issue, but you know, when it comes to the world of higher education, we've been asking some of the different candidates their thoughts on some of these community colleges. Montgomery County is in kind of a interesting situation here. It's the only county with 2 community colleges. Any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And I'm not sure it's coincidental that it's also been our largest loss of population by percentage. In our whole state is Montgomery County, and it's a taxing issue, right? Here's the deal. What we have to do with community colleges, we have to preserve the mission, right, which is workforce development. That is, when you're in that 2-year sector, it's the most responsive to industry. But we have to change the way it's funded from the sense of we have to take it off the backs of the counties. So that's the trick. Preserve the mission, preserve the local control, take it off the backs of the counties. And that'd be a huge difference to all the residents of Montgomery County.
Sure. We're speaking with Ty Masterson, who is on the ballot on the Republican side here as we get into the election on the way Tuesday. Sir, speaking on the education front, I would be remiss in my job if I didn't ask you about this whole controversy, if you will, with Wichita State University and your position there. Can you clarify a little bit for the listeners here on you know, what your role is at WSU?
Oh, absolutely. And for the record, that's entirely fabricated by a political opponent. Matter of fact, to the point that they found a political activist on campus that had nothing to do with my facility, never been a member or part of it, and then decided to tell the camera that he's never seen me. Well, I'd never seen him either. Yeah, then they actually come up on the day I'm closed and try to make it look like, you know, nothing's going on there, because we actually, the facility I run is called Go Creative. We were open over the weekends because we're not, that's why I was recruited to run that. I'm a non-traditional kid. We are trying to get to kids that don't think about getting on campus, and we're practical. We have access to like water jets and 3D printers and engravers, sewing machines, table saws, and we're getting kids engaged in creativity and education. And I'll tell you what, I want them to judge by my outcomes, because we have changed lives. We have, I mean, single moms that had their own businesses started. It is incredibly successful. Wichita State is very happy about what we've done. I've been there for already 10 years working on this. So all I tell you, I know that's a you know, we're in the last week of an election, so that's the net downside, nasty part of politics, right? You'll fabricate things, and I know one of my opponents in particular is trying to amplify that, but I can tell you it is 100% a fabricated thing.
We're speaking with Ty Masterson, who, again, is running for the Kansas governor's office here. And, sir, there's been one really big hot-button issue that I think if we start to look at kind of southeast Kansas as we go into continue on through 2026, data centers have really become a big contentious issue here in a lot of our counties and communities. Kind of curious your thoughts on that when it comes to data centers looking at building these in Kansas. I know that there's already been some legislation at the state level regarding this, but I kind of like to hear your opinions on that.
Absolutely. And by the way, that conversation has become red hot in this election, right? I mean, but we were having beginnings of those conversations a year and a half ago, and we do them. By the way, there's a lot of misinformation about the bill that was passed back then, because the two things that were being talked about back then was the use of power and the Chinese security element, which is real. I mean, there is real push. You know, we're in a cold war, if you will, for technology in the world against China. And so what that bill did back then was required they cover their own power, right? It forces them to pay sales tax on the power and the cost of any infrastructure on their power. And then it also, you can't use any Chinese parts. You have to be inspected by the fusion center. So we were tackling the conversation of the day. Now, I do think there's some new conversations, and we need to probably add some guardrails, right, around land use and water, make sure there's no eminent domain ever used for any type of private purpose. So you need to have all these guardrails in place, and then let the locals evaluate what that looks like for them, right? Because there are places they do not make sense, and if they're overusing water or inappropriately using land, or they're, you know, it's, they have to cover cost of power. So that was, because the big concern was they don't throw any cost in any way off on the neighbors, right, in the area. But then, and then let the locals decide, because there are areas that they do make sense, particularly heavy industry areas, and then let the locals decide on that.
Sure. It does seem like it really is boiling down to a local issue. I mean, we have counties here within Montgomery County. It may make more sense than others. So we're continuing to follow that along as we do continue. So, we kind of want to circle back a little bit to the population issue, because I've been taking a look at some of those population numbers. By some estimates now, Montgomery County has now dipped below 30,000 for the first time since 1910, which is kind of crazy. But again, that's not official census numbers. That's kind of some estimates here. But you look at all these counties in southeast Kansas, and we have continued 3%, 4%, 5% population decline. You go across the border in northeast Oklahoma, even counties like Nowata County, where there are many fewer jobs than here in Montgomery County, population is on the rise in all those counties. So that tells me, well, there must be something statewide that is the issue here. So how do we turn that around?
Yeah, so one of my number one goals long-term, but in the first term, is to create tax parity, right, with our surrounding states, you know, Oklahoma, Missouri in particular, because you get up in Kansas City, Kansas, you got Kansas City, Missouri right across the line, right? And when you guys, it's exaggerated down here, because you can go right across, you know, a few miles away, you're in Oklahoma. So the goal is to create tax parity. I want there to be, by the end of my term, zero advantage to be able to move across the line, because I think that's what you see, because people move to an advantaged position. And when it's easy to move, right, you don't see a lot of central Kansas moving, because it's a big jump. But man, when you can drive just a handful of miles away and advantage yourself, you get that activity. So goal is to create all kinds of parity with our surrounding states.
We're speaking with Ty Masterson here on the Mighty 690. And, sir, what other issues do you think are really pivotal here that you'd like to tackle if elected?
So, the other big pivotal issue that's really not something for me to tackle, but it'll affect what happens, is this coming up on Tuesday. There's a question on the ballot to elect our Supreme Court, and I think that is absolutely critical moving forward. Many people don't know we're the only state in the country that has this undemocratic way of selection, where we cede the power of a nominating commission to five lawyers, and they're elected there by only members of the bar, by other lawyers. And what has happened is we've developed a court in these last few decades. It just doesn't reflect the Kansas people. And so that has become the most powerful branch of government, and it is unaccountable to the people. And so that's why it's, and by the way, electing is the most common way in this nation to appoint Supreme Court justices. And it's what, and what people talk about the politics, there's politics in it now. There's money in it now, but it's all behind the scenes, and people just don't even know. As I've traveled around, I'll ask big groups, and usually very informed people, you know, like GOP groups or other politically active groups, if they even know that we've had two Supreme Court justices resign and be replaced in just the last 12 months, and there'll be one or two, I mean, of people that even know that's happened, and that's the point. So our judicial branch is in secret, and the last two appointed, I mean, one, I mean, she'd never been an attorney, or never, she'd been an attorney, she'd never been a judge before. And in her own words, had no judicial philosophy by which to interpret the Constitution. But yet she sits on our Supreme Court, and there's nothing the people can do about that at this point. And so you see this, the activists are going through the system. I believe in account. I had a gal push back on me yesterday that, well, you need accountability in government. That is absolutely true. But the accountability is to the people. That is, and that's what elections bring, accountability to the people. That's why Virgil and Ron Bryce, who just joined us, love this guy, just we're accountable to the voters, the governor's accountable to the voters, and the judicial branch, particularly the Supreme Court, has zero accountability when it comes to that. So that's a key. Whoever you support in a local race, the answer to that, and if you really want to help change the face of Kansas and make it accountable to the people, that answer is yes.
Well, and I think it's probably more of a Democrat talking point, but they say, well, why wouldn't you trust the legal experts to, you know, what would you say to that rhetoric?
So here's what I'd say to that. Just look how our system works. If you ever go to trial, do you sit in front of a jury of legally picked experts, or do you sit in front of a jury of your peers? And that is the way the system is, and that's what elections are. That is the jury of our peers. Those are the people that you are going to preside over. And so that's what I would say. Both their arguments that somehow it's right now it's all about merit. Just go look. In the elected states, there's actually more merit in those judges, you know, longer experience on the bench, more qualified in the elected states, because those judges have to be accountable to the people. When you leave it to just a very small group of people, that's when the darkest part of politics happens, because it's in the back room.
We're speaking with Ty Masterson, who is up for the election here on Tuesday, along with all the many contenders on the Republican side. Sir, as we get a little bit closer to wrapping up here, I know you've discussed it a little bit, but what do you think really sets you apart from your opponents on that Republican ticket?
Well, there's two things right now that I think definitely set me apart. One is just the fact that I'm the only major candidate that's not a mega millionaire myself, right? So I relate to average Kansan because I am average Kansan. And so, you know, we had children young. So I've worked two jobs most of my life, been a businessman and trying to maintain employment to make sure everything works. And I've had successes and I've had failures, and I understand to work hard and provide for your families. That's number one. Two is just, and we touched on it, it's just, I'm a battle tested, proven entity, right? It's what you get in elections are people standing up saying, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I think. But it's really a gamble, because you don't know what they'll actually be able to do, or where they'll, how they'll be able to work with people. And I'm not. You can pick your issue, like I mentioned in the beginning. If it's Second Amendment, the NRA is with me. If it's life, the Kansas for Life and Right to Life are with me. If it's business, the, you know, Americans for Prosperity are with me. And then you just got the President Trump, who spent a lot of time and his team evaluating this race and then coming out as strong as he did for me. I was just honored by that. But it's because I'm just not a gamble. You can go see where I bet in the ability to work with people.
We're speaking with, again, Ty Masterson here as we get closer to wrapping up. And Dr. Ron Bryce joins us here in studio. Do you have any thoughts here as we get closer to wrapping up?
Hey, thanks, James. It's an honor to be here with Senator Masterson. And I'll just say that it says a lot about the man that he's the front runner right now for the Kansas Republican nominee for governor. And he needs Johnson County. He needs Sedgwick County. He needs the entire state of Kansas. And where does he choose to spend his time the weekend right before the election? He's right here because he understands us. He understands people. He understands from a taxpayer point of view, from a regulation point of view, the things that people go through because he's been there, like he said, and I am just honored to have Senator Masterson here, and I'm very supportive of him. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ron. And, sir, as we wrap up, any closing thoughts as we finish our time together here today?
No, I just really appreciate you giving me the time to be on and speak to your audience. And, again, congratulations on being an award-winning station. That's
hey,
great.
Thank you so much. And if folks do want to learn a little bit more about your positions, what is the best way to do that?
MastersonForGovernor.com, and that can lead you to all. And we always have, obviously have all the social media accounts as well. So, but that's a great place to kind of central hub to get a hold of anything you need to know about me.
All right, Ty Masterson, we appreciate you joining us, and best of luck in your election.
Thank you, James.
All right, and of course, election coverage will be here on the Mighty 690 on Tuesday. And if you'd like to hear this interview, we have it. We'll have it up at KGGFradio.com along with all our other candidate interviews. Again, that's up at KGGFradio.com underneath Morning News Interviews. More Up in Line on the way.